for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 10th Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, February the 19th, 2006. Sharon Mulkey is the speaker of this service.
Well, it's my honor to take Monty's place and introduce Sharon Mulkey to finish off our meetings this morning. Sharon.
I tell you, it's really, you just sit and you just soak it up. You know, being in a room full of women that just, I don't know, I just feel like you could just breathe it in, the love and the, you know, not only of God, but for each other. And you guys probably know that there's a movie that came out in the book, Mean Girls. And, you know, women have really been good at hurting other women. Some of our deepest wounds are from what women have done to us, you know. And a lot of times, it's not always easy to come and be in a group because those spirits are going to come up and just want to keep you a little reserved, and rightfully so if you've been stabbed to death and, you know, and cattiness and pettiness. And the devil's really sometimes made women, besides ourselves, our enemy, instead of being able to come together. And, you know, that's a miracle. I don't think we've realized here is that God has really superseded all the things that, you know, are in us. One, that kept us from coming, and two, that kept us here. Because, you know, sometimes it can just take one word or one look from somebody, and it just devastates you, because women do have a sensitive spirit. And Christian women really have a sensitive spirit because that's a good thing. And it can get easily crushed. So it's been a real joy for me because it hasn't always been easy for me. It's been hard. Social skills are not something that I'll teach on. Kathy used to have to chain my leg up here so I wouldn't leave. No. I really want to encourage you ladies today. Sometimes you look at a speaker and you think, oh, man. You know, it's like the first time I saw someone read the King James Bible. It's like, wow. You know, maybe someday I'll be able to read King James. You know, you start out the Living Word and all that. it's taken 30 years to get me to this spot. That's probably why Bonnie didn't introduce me, because he'd go, oh, gosh, you know, it's been a long time, Lord. But no, I'm just teasing. I want you to see that who you see today, well, even wasn't the same person 6 months ago or a year ago or 2 years ago. Liz and Kathy, the time that they've known me, you just keep changing and changing and changing. And it's always changing for the better, though. You know, it's... I love the analogy my brother gave. Is a Christian, when you're in the world, you know those signs, you know, that, you know, you decrease. Yeah, greater than and less than. And in the world, it gets less and less and less than. But what we're finding out, and especially with the help of deliverance, we just keep getting better and better and better, and it just keeps expanding and expanding. And that's like what Glenn was saying. You're never too old for God to use you. And we need this generation, like we talked yesterday, more than ever. They are lost sheep. They don't have a clue. I mean, they even need someone to go out and say, you need help. Because, you know, and deliverance gets the boulders out of the road that God wants you to walk. You know, deliverance doesn't do everything, but nevertheless, what deliverance does, nothing else will do. So you cannot leave it out. You have to have it all. you know. And when you try to leave deliverance out, there's nothing else that has the power to dig up those huge boulders that have been in our lives probably for centuries. You know, so deliverance is essential for people to get and be and do what God's always destined them to do. A lot of people just, especially with their self-help books and different things, and I'm not against that. I've learned a lot of things. There's just a lot of life I didn't know. I wasn't taught. So I was fortunate enough where I was able to read. A lot of women have to come and get prayer to be even able to read. And, you know, they took phonics out of the school. They bring in this funky stuff. Well, good Lord. You know, nobody could learn to read that way. I mean, God made phonics. A-E-I-O-U. It looks like it sounds like. You know. And I learned that from my kids because they had phonics. I didn't. I had see and say. Well, if you can't memorize the word and what it says, you know, and boys aren't real good at that at the age they try to teach the little guys how to read. Back on the subject, Sharon. Here we go. A lot of times people just, you know, we want to feel better, but we don't really want to change. I would really like to just keep eating all the chocolate I want and not gain weight, right? I mean, let's admit it. And that there is an element to, it's wonderful at deliverance. I mean, with deliverance, there is such a liberty. And I don't want you to fear the demons coming back and repossessing you and taking you over. Because what I have found is when the demon comes back, let's say cigarettes. You know, I don't know, I haven't smoked, but it's hard for women to quit because there's a psychological component to smoking that women have sometimes more than men. But when the cigarette spirit comes back and goes, you want to smoke, you want to smoke, that's your opportunity because your will is free to say, no, I don't want to smoke. And it may kind of nip at you for a time. Other spirits don't. They're gone, it's over, it's history. Others may try to come back, but deliverance also frees up your will to where you can make a choice to say no. You know, when the demon is inside you and ripping you around, sometimes we don't even have as much a choice because it's been fragmented and things. So there's a little bit of both, people. Bottom line is common sense. Let's get common sense back into the people. And I don't have to tell you guys that, but you ought to see California. And people living closer to nature or in the country, they just have more of a real sense of life. You know, in the city, they say they're the kids. Where does milk come from? Albertsons. Anybody knows that. They don't even think cow, you know, because a lot of them have probably never seen a cow outside of a book. And that you get away from reality in a sense. So that's why it's been fun being here, is because I was. So my parents are teachers. We are farm-raised, and it's great to be with people about it. I did this for Glenn, and I just am so thankful that he took a chance to ask me. Because, you know, even though I'm Monty's wife and things, you don't know what people may come up with. You know, I mean, you just don't know. So he took a real chance asking me to come, and I appreciate that. And I asked God, I said, because the scripture says that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. I said, Lord, during the workshop, especially the women's workshop, would you ask Irma if she'd like to look over the balcony and watch the women's workshop as her seeing some of the fruit of her labors? And that in heaven, the fruit of what you've done down here just keeps going on and on and on and on. So I'm sure she did. And I just, because you don't pay a price for nothing, and the rewards keep going on and on. And I do thank Irma as much as I thank Glenn for establishing this place. I have a special prayer request for me. With the ADD that I have, it's really hard for me to sit and write. And you'll know that your thoughts go through really rapidly. And when God starts talking to me about things, sometimes it goes through really rapidly, and I try to dictaphone and different things. But just pray for the grace, because I don't really think God wants to deliver me of the part that's making me who I am with the ADD. God isn't here to create little
just cookie cutter perfect people. He's here to, I think, show the world that people with any kind of a disability or whatever, him living through them, and it gives him more glory, you know. Because if I was perfect, why would I need God, right? But pray for me to have grace to sit and write, because I really, like I shared before, I really have a heart to, I guess, spare people some of the pain that I've had to go through. And I think that's a real woman thing. You know, we're nurturing, you know, we don't want our kids to do this, you know. And not that you'll be spared all the pain, because that's part of growing. But just pray for me on that. It takes all of us together. We can't do it alone. And I thank God I don't have to do it alone. I want to introduce Kathy first and then Liz. God put in their hearts, and this is what God will do for you when you're called to do something. And one of the ways you kind of know that you're getting into your calling is God puts in the hearts of other people ways to help you. And they're asking you to help before you even realize you need the help a lot of times. Come, Kathy. Kathy and Stan, and then I want to tell you a story about Kathy. You'll love it. Kathy and Stan have been with us for a while, and Stan moved from Missouri.
Mississippi.
Okay, Mississippi. That's why I'm Kathy.
I have to keep her straight.
Exactly. And they do the tapes. They label them, they whatever it is. If anybody ever gets monthly tapes, it's because they got them done. And Kathy got ready all the tapes that I brought today. And what I'd like to do is, because I'm not taking them back home, is when you're done, go and see which tapes stand out to you to listen to. And then when you're able, just give a donation to Lake Hamilton. Because that's, I wanted the first fruit of my ministry to go to support another ministry. And so that's, I do that with joy. My, what do they call it, love language?
Uh-huh.
Is gifts and giving. So I wanted Kathy to share with you today, though, how God made a way for her to come to the workshop to encourage you. Go ahead. I'm going to get something to drink.
Okay. Pray for Seth. No. First of all, she kind of threw this at me this morning, so you'll. And I'm ADD too, so. Well, I brought a little cheat sheet. Okay, so basically the first thing is Sharon had told us that she was asked to speak at the workshop, and basically she said, you know, if any of you ladies would like to go, then, you know, pray about it and ask God. And that's the first thing I wanted to talk about as far as you want to do what God has for you. Your calling, you know, you can work in flesh, but to do what God has for you, like Sharon had said yesterday, you take one step forward and basically he takes two steps towards you. So I went to my husband and I asked him, I said, well, you know, Sharon's going to be speaking and I'd like to go, and I'd like to, you know, I'd like for both of us to pray and see what God says. He works from home, so you know, we have a budget. Like Sharon was talking about, most of the baby boomers don't have a budget. We actually have a budget, and he does all the finances. And so it was one of those things where I'm not going to him to get permission. I'm going to him basically because we do live within our means. So we'd gone to God, and we'd asked if we should go. And what was put on both of our hearts was yes. And so we went online and we purchased an airline ticket, and so basically now we have $315 that we have to now come up with. So, like Sharon talked about, the thing is the Lord always provides. Where God guides, he provides. And so he had guided us that this was something that we were going to do. So my mother, it's a little side story, I'm not going to get into the whole detail, but long story short, she needed some help in her house. And so she had asked me to come over and help her. And I was just going to go there out of the goodness of my heart to just, you know, I gave her a Saturday, and it's like, okay, Mom, I'm yours all day. And I was just going to go and do whatever it is that she needed. At the end of the day, she wrote me a check for $150. Not expected. And you have to understand something about my mom. She's Buddhist. So there's no way that she was going to support or pay for my trip to come to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. So And where where God or where the scriptures say that God has a thousand ways, let me tell you, nowhere in my wildest imaginations did I figure my mom was going to pay for half my trip. Okay, so that was $150 worth of the trip. Now the other thing Sharon talked about yesterday was to come away and be with him. And a little side note here, for those women, for anybody, not just women, for anybody who is apprehensive about going and spending time and sitting and listening and getting fed by what God has for you, I just want to take away any kind of apprehension, because as women, at least for me, the first thing that reared up when Monty preached, you know, come away, my beloved, spend time with me, you know, just you and me and everything. Of course, the whole list came out. Well, I can't go spend time with God. I mean, I've got three boys at home, and I've got a house to clean, and I've got a full-time job as well as my part-time business. Then where can I find some time or whatever in order to go spend time? I mean, that's a luxury. That's not in the schedule. So basically, when you go and you do what it is that God asks you to do, like Sharon was saying, everything else gets aligned. Everything else lines up. All the things that I put up, the dishes, the laundry, the this, the that, whatever, that I set aside in order to take the time to spend with God, all of a sudden it gets done. Or it's like Narnia time. It gets done and it's like, wow, I have all this extra time on my hands. What happened? So I just want to quell any kind of apprehension as far as going and spending time with God. So one of the things that, because we're on a budget, one of the things that the Lord blessed me with the first time I went away, it's called the fleece. God, I can't go away. I don't have any money. So let's see. If God can provide a way where I can go away and spend time with him and it won't cost more than $100. Yeah, that's it. If God can find a way and it won't cost more than $100, then I'll go spend time with him. Okay, well, what do you got? My husband is internet. He finds everything on the internet. You can't find it, you call us, okay? So he goes on the internet and he says, well, here's a hotel, and guess what? The gas it takes to drive there and the hotel itself and every food, everything. Under $100, honey, I guess you're going. Okay, so I went and spent time with the Lord. And, you know, the thing is sometimes you go and the Lord really pours into you and just speaks to you through everything, through, you know, situations, through books, through tapes, through even flip on the TV and movies, he'll speak to you. So the second time it's like, okay, that's great, but, you know, I can't afford to do this every single time. Well, I need to find a way to do this where I can go and spend time away with God and it doesn't cost anything. Well, like I said, the Lord has a thousand ways. So my boss, he lives in Ventura, and Ventura is right on the coast, the west coast. He has this nice condo. And one day he asked me, he says, you wouldn't be by any chance interested in dog sitting this weekend, would you? And I said, sure. Yeah, no problem. So he says, well, you know, you could stay and at the condo and you know, just watch the dog. And I'm like, okay, cool. Sounds good. So the second time, well, no, that was the third time. The third time I went away, I was like, God not only gave me the place, I got this wonderful condo on the beach, walk along the beach, you know, suffering for Jesus and all that good stuff. And I get to take care of this little dog, you know, so. And it's just such a blessing. So the reason I brought that up was because, like I said, $150, so I still have, you know, $165 I still have to make up. So his wife's father's second wife had cancer and ended up passing away. Well, 2 weeks before this happened, he said, you know, this is like inevitable. So if we ask you to dog sit, do you think you could help us out? And I said, well, sure. Okay. And so the time came and we got the phone call that she had passed away. And she says, okay, well, I'm leaving this Wednesday and you're going to have to stay until Monday. And normally it's always been a weekend. So this is like almost a week. And so it's like, sure, no problem. I'll just make other arrangements. And the Lord took care of all of that too. And so this time when he got, and he never pays me. I mean, it's. I told him that he can't pay me because this is something that he's actually blessing me by giving me a time to be alone. And so this time he gave me a card when he came back and $100 cash in it. there's like, and the card, which really blessed me, was, you know, for all you do for others, I just pray that the blessings are returned to you. And so then there's another $100. Okay, so still have a deficit of $65. So Valentine's Day, we had gone out to, or I had made the supper and we had gone and rented a DVD to watch, because that's the only time you can watch chick flick in my house. It's when it's my turn to pick the movie. So we're sitting at home watching Must Love Dogs, and the phone rings. And one of the things that I participate in, and Sharon doesn't even know this part yet, is Davis Research. And what it is it's a research company that every now and again will call you and ask you to sit on a discussion panel, and they compensate you in some way or pay cash. And this particular compensation is going to happen when I get back, and they want to compensate me $75. So my whole trip here has been paid for by God in all his many ways. There's no way that I could have thought of. And, you know, like Davis Research, they don't call you every week, okay? They call you every couple of years. So it's not like I could have budgeted that or put that into the agenda or the plan. So anyways, I just wanted to reassure you that where God guides, he provides. And thank you for allowing me to share. Oh, real quick. I'm Kathy. I'm from Thousand Oaks. I have three boys. I'm Sharon's armor bearer, and I'm honored to be Sharon's armor bearer. So thank you.
Kathy's husband, Stan, does most of the preaching when Monty's gone. So it's a real blessing for Monty to have a man of such caliber that he can trust to bring forth the message that, you know, God wants him to bring forth. And that's a blessing. I've got a story for you guys that you're going to tell everybody that left early. Come here, Liz. Liz is the other armor bearer, and this is nothing that I even hinted that, you know, I would want or need. And one day Liz comes up to me and she goes, "Anybody gets you, I'm going to kill them." I thought, oh, okay. But just that protectiveness. And I just say that's what God will do for you, too. Liz, go ahead and tell them a little bit about yourself and then tell them.
Okay. I'm Liz Patton from Simi Valley, California. That's just 10 miles from church.
When you moved from where?
Yeah, I moved from Pennsylvania about 7 years ago to go. Oh, we don't tell everybody that. Just deliverance people. How would they understand? Like, why did you move to California? Oh, it was a new start, you know. So my husband and I and our two boys, we love it. It's been wonderful. 7 years. But I was telling Sharon yesterday how this reminded me of when we first found out about deliverance. I had basically had a breakdown. My husband had just wrecked his van after a drunken night at the bar. So this was like we totally hit rock bottom, you know, and found out about deliverance. So we traveled. It was in Buffalo. Yeah. And so we traveled up there. We called Hegwish Church, and they told us, oh, there's a little church up there. You know, we went up to get deliverance, and it was so bad that the church was closed. It snowed so bad. And, you know, Buffalo's used to snow, but it was like, I don't know, feet, like 2 or 3 feet. But we were so desperate. And God just really blessed us. The pastor's wife did come over and pray, actually, because the pastor happened to be in traveling somewhere. And we just kept going. And I have to say, wonderful. Just God put everything back together. My husband never touched alcohol again. It wasn't even hard for him, I have to say. And I slowly came out of whatever was attacking me. I came, like both my grandmothers had breakdowns, so there was a mental illness in the family. And that's something that I battled for like 20 years. So this, you know, falling apart and then having to get better. But it was really neat. The Lord, I never went back there again. I just thank him so much. What I want to say, the woman, God's really, he worked on the father wounds first with me. And now it's in the women wounds and learning to love women. So when I came here, I was very apprehensive because I just haven't had a lot of good experiences with women through, you know, since childhood. So never quite fitting in, things like that. But I was just overwhelmed with the beauty that I've seen here. I that was like the first thing that hit me was everybody is so beautiful. Really, just overwhelmed me. Just overwhelming. I don't see a lot of beauty in California, Southern California. Church is like our little refuge, you know. We love to go to church. And but I did get a new husband, even though it's the same one, you know. So I just think God is just wonderful. And we've been married 20 years, so we're just so blessed. We just, every day we're just so mindful of having nothing and now having everything, absolutely everything. So that's all. I just want to, and I do, I'm very mindful too that at first when we started, it was like just survival and, oh God, I'm so glad we found, you. And now I'm seeing that it's all Him. And it's all orchestrated by Him, for Him. And that's where I'm, and I feel Him calling that deep. Deep walk, you know, like the really intimate, you know, going deep. So thank you, Lord.
I don't think Liz stressed hard enough. It was cold. It was snowing. It was a blizzard. And they went to a deliverance church. And the church was closed. So a little sleet out here. Oh, yeah, 3 hours too, right? Yeah. But I mentioned that to Liz, and she just looked at me and she says, desperation, Sharon, desperation. And the desperate do get free because they're willing to do anything to get free. And sometimes you want people in your life to get deliverance, but you have got to let them get to the place of desperation. You can't, you have to quit rescuing them, quit making life easy for them. Where did all of us come after we hit bottom, basically, you know? So don't be afraid to let the people in your life get desperate, because you know God will make you desperate. That's why we're here today. I just want to go over, and it's going to be a good day today. I just want to say that I've asked God that you each go home refreshed and not drained, because we got Monday morning waiting for us, and we're women. We got things to do, go places to go, and people to see, right? So I really wanted the last thing in this workshop to be where you go home feeling rested and refreshed and full of energy and not drained, even though you've gotten tons of deliverance. And so he's going to do that for us. I just want to go over, if I can find my page. You know, I talked to you about your calling, and I know all of you are going to fear God more than you fear man, because that's, otherwise you wouldn't even be here. But I can't find my list to save my soul. So we'll just start with the scriptures till we get there. What this message is called is what lurks behind the door of opportunity. It's like if you were to go out that front door, what's waiting for you out there? You've been called, God's been preparing you, and however long it takes Him to prepare you, that's okay. It's not going to be overnight. Because God has to go so deep into us to dig out so much rotten foundation. You know, He doesn't just go to the house and scoop it off and there's cement there and you just build on the cement. In all of our lives, He has to take that down and then He has to start digging out rotten foundation. And that can take a while. And this is a principle I want you to have to be encouraged. How big does the hole have to be that a skyscraper stands on? Would you say pretty big? Okay. If you're going to plant a tomato, what do they say, about this big? Okay, and you're going to do what? You'll grow tomatoes. If you're going to be a skyscraper for God, that is how deep He is going to have to dig and work in your life. I'm saying this to encourage you, not discourage you, when you think, oh my gosh, another things to go through and on and on. And you just, the devil tempts you to despair and, well, you're just too horrible. You'll never get there anyway. But I do believe that the women in deliverance were made and created to be skyscrapers so that our light will be on the top of those skyscrapers, shining bright to the whole world. And we're not going to be hiding our light under a bushel. So the good news is just get ready for the excavation, because the end product is skyscrapers, and you can't build them without deliverance. because you cannot build a skyscraper with wood, stone, a little bit of steel. A skyscraper has got to be pretty tough all the way to the top. And only deliverance can take out the rottenest beams. And even the beams that look like steel, deliverance will reveal and take out of our life so that God can put in. That's the second half of deliverance. You go out, but you also go in. So I just want to encourage you with that when you get discouraged and you think, oh, it's going on and on and on. So what are some of the things that would lurk behind the door of opportunity? And I, like I say, I have to live every message I teach. The first scripture is Genesis 3. When they got kicked out of the garden, and this is God speaking to them, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and the desire shall be thy husband. But the point I want to really focus in on is that Satan has hated women from the very beginning. And I mean, now there's pretty much proof that this Adam let the snake in the garden in the first place. And that his nonchalant attitude about the tree is what kind of made Eve feel like, well, it's not that big of a deal. Kind of puts a whole light on the story, doesn't it? Because you always wonder where the snake came from. Well, scripturally, if you go back to the original versions, I mean the originals, Adam let the snake in. And he didn't say to Eve, don't go eat that. You know, his attitude, because women pick up on their husband's attitude. We tend to value what they value. We tend to not value what they don't. So Satan has hated us from the very beginning, and we know that. So he has designed and put out systems and implanted demonic ideas into men's heads especially, and this is nothing against men at all. It's just how the devil has set this up because he hates women. In his supernatural brain, he's going, what can I do? I know how God made women, that she has a sensitive spirit, that she's nurturing, she's giving, she gives life to wherever she goes. He knew that. So he thought, well, how can I take the life out of her? How can I crush her spirit? So he sets up these systems that have just hurt women from the beginning. And men are just as used as the women. It's not a man-woman thing. It's just the way the devil knew to get at us. But God is unraveling all of that and exposing it in these times. And men are going to be able to start walking out of that too as women start walking into what God's called them to do. It said, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Your calling, in a sense, is conceived. It is put in you. You will bear your calling. You will travail to bring forth your calling. And there will be sorrow as you conceive and you bring forth a child, and you that have been in, have had children or even been close to those that have, it's no picnic. I mean, it is not a picnic. And how many callings have been aborted? Now, I'm not talking about the baby himself, but I mean in the people themselves. And there will be sorrow with the conception. I said, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And children may can be the fruit of your calling. The fruits of my calling is in you, and the deliverance you receive, that's the fruit of my calling. Is your life changed? Have you been set free? See, that's the fruit of my calling. So we've got to be, don't put God in a box with what your calling is, one, and two, what the fruit is. Okay, just really be open to him. The other one is in 1 Corinthians 16:9. And here, you know, it says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. God is telling us that right behind the door of opportunity are adversaries. But then when you go up to chapter 15:58, but therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord,
For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So why would God even give us that scripture? One, he's telling us that we are beloved to be steadfast, because the devil is going to do everything he can to push you out of your calling. And that's why he says, be unmovable. And these are spirits that we can loose into ourselves. We are the beloved. I lose steadfastness. I lose unmovability. I lose a spirit that helps me to always abound in the work of God, to not give up, faith, you know, all of those things. Because these are the ways, exact ways that God, the devil will come against you to weaken you, to make you waver, make you feel God doesn't love you. And he'll make you feel like what you're doing is just totally worthless. What? You're going to bake whatever your calling would be. And your calling is not your career. Your career is just probably where you're a natural gifting. Your calling is never your career. And it may be part of it, but it's not the whole thing. And so whatever you do, he's going to tell you that, what's that? That's nothing. That doesn't amount to nothing. So I tell you these things so that when he talks in your ear, it's like they say, I'm going to do the opposite of what the demon is telling me. No, this is important. And so that's where she was coming from, is that it is of value and very important. I'm going to find my list because I have it written down. Oh, here we go. Too organized for my own brain. Right where I put it. Okay. Don't you guys feel better knowing that I'm just a little weird? And because then, I mean, that should encourage you guys. You know, you don't have to be perfect. You know, you can have problems and God still uses you. I mean, that's one of the things I tell my ADD. I said, man, you know, if God can use me, he can use anybody, you know. So, and I really mean that, too. So let it be an encouragement. When you say, God can't use you, oh man, he can use Sharon, he can use anybody. Okay. All right, let's just go down the list. And what I'm going to do is, Father, in Jesus' name, as we go through the list and we describe things, I just lose the spirit of deliverance to go and pull these things out of the people and to pull out, but also to put in the opposite of the things that would come against us. And Lord, I realize that we will all walk through trials and tribulations, because that, in essence, is our story and where we will turn around and help others too. But I also believe that there are some potholes you don't have to fall into. Okay, and that's why God has the scriptures, my goodness. I mean, that's what the scriptures are, pothole proof to help us. Okay, we won't even get into that part. I want to share this with you, that a deliverance woman, just get nervous, demons. Go up. Angels just go out there and just start poking them and prodding them and turning all the torment that they've put on these women back on themselves in Jesus' name. That's something else you can do when you talk, is you talk to the demons. You're not talking to the person. Monty used to do this all the time, and he started right away, and people couldn't figure out kind of what it's like. He was talking straight to the demons, and by the time he got to mass deliverance, you know, they were pretty well sick and tired of being tortured and stuff. So that's a little tip you can use when you talk to people. You just talk to their demons. They know. They know who you are and the power you have, even more than we do. A deliverance woman is a living memorial. A memorial to the past suffering and future hope of our friends, our families, our nations, and the world. A memorial that calls others to face the damage of living in a fallen, diabolical world. A memorial of real present and future hope. Without hope, a person will die. And there is a reason that faith is listed in the Hall of Fame of faith, hope, and love. Give a deliverance woman will give someone else a reason to live and not die. In this sense, we are already living in eternity. And for God has set eternity in our hearts. A deliverance woman will give someone else a reason to live and not die. One of the if you're listing things, number one, and these aren't in order of importance, not knowing the ways of God a lot of times just
gets people off track right way, because they think that their way is the way that it should be. So God starts working in a way that's not comfortable or that you're not used to, or it's like, boy, this doesn't make sense. And so you balk and you resist and you pull back and you go, well, that can't be God. This is why spending time with Him is so critical, because you, when you get in those kind of situations, and you will, because we've lived in the world with the human reasoning since the beginning of time, and our minds have spirits of darkness on them. I'm not naming all the animals out there. I mean, our minds are nothing like God created them to be. You need to say, God, is this your way? Because God's ways aren't our ways. Another big killer for women is false responsibility. In fact, I want to do a whole message on false responsibility. The world has made us responsible for everything. And then Freud really nailed it down, and you mothers, you're responsible for every problem in your kids. You know that, don't you? That's a bunch of hooey. All it does is make us feel guilty, and so we start working hard to correct everything that we didn't cause in the first place. But false responsibility, I encourage you to start getting prayer on that. It is incredible. When I went up just to get prayer on false responsibility, it went back into idolatry. I mean, the stuff they were calling out of me under false responsibility, I would have never guessed, ever. It makes you responsible for things that God has never wanted you to be responsible for. And as women, this is a big thing. Makes you feel responsible for your husband and your kids and your neighbors and your this. It's like we just bleed into everything. You know, a stain, you get a drop on it, like ink, and it just bleeds into the whole material around it. That's what false responsibility does. It takes the responsibility you do have, and it bleeds it into everything else. It drains your time, your money, your energy. You're never going to do your calling until you get out the roots of false responsibility, because they are going to run you ragged, girl. And then you get the spirit inside you that says, no, I'm not going to. And that's a good spirit. That is a good spirit of saying, no. No, I can't do the spaghetti supper tonight. No, I can't do this. Because God says I'm to do this. Knowing your calling is the easiest thing. You know, you can read 1,000 books on time management. All they're telling you is how to do more things in less time. We've all figured that out, right? You load the clothes in the dishwasher, then you throw in this, and then you towel it off. And it is not time saving or management. It's just telling you how to do more in your time so that you're even tireder at the end of the day. So, false responsibility. Okay, I just got to do a message on it, you ladies, because it is... number three, fears from without and fears within. Fear is a powerful spirit, and it fits everything the devil wants to do. And you won't even know the fears you have until you start moving out to do your calling, and all of a sudden, up comes one. You don't know what's inside you. I don't know what's inside me. Believe me, I've been in this 30 years, and I'm still amazed sometimes at what comes out of me in my mouth when God pushes on something. You just don't know what's down there, and it's deep and it's ugly. It's not very pretty. So because of that, number four, they load you up with shame. Well, you horrible girl, you bad girl. Shame and self-blame. Men do not internalize problems like women do. I saw a study where there was this doll with an arm broken off it, and they laid it down on a table. And they had, I think they were like 4 and 5 year old boys, and they had the boy walk by, or come up to the doll. The kid looked at it, walked on. Next, they brought the girls. The little girl, first one, and all of them went up to the doll and went into tears when they could not put that arm back on that doll. They had internal anguish because they had to fix it. A man does not have a need to fix human problems and relations like a woman, and that's okay. But do you see how the devil has taken something good in us, that nurturing and caring, and just said, okay, I'll just throw you over the deep end on it. And he's taken that in men so that they care even less about what's broken. I mean, men have a fix-it spirit, but it operates in a different way. You go to them with a problem, okay, honey, just do this. It's like, I just want to talk to you about it. You know? So, but what broke my heart was those little girls were in such agony because they could not put that arm back on that doll. You know, I just, And that is just our nature. I mean, these were little girls that hadn't been taught a thing. This is just naturally what they did. They had to put the arm back on the doll. And each one of us has that where, and this is where false responsibility comes in again, trying to fix something we can't fix. But you know what? They didn't give up until they were told to stop. They never reached a point where they said, oh, stuff. They had to be told to quit. I'm telling you, quit. I'm telling you, demons, to come out that won't let these women quit putting arms on broken dolls that they can't fix. Only God can fix most things. Then number five, we have our culture, our social, and our church expectations. And as little girls, from the beginning of time, we have been groomed to meet everyone's expectations. Because you know you're the helpmeet of man. And that has been totally, I call it transliterated. That is not what the Word of God says. The real Word of God. Transliterated. Like most of the Bibles out there, they're transliterations of what God said in the beginning. And it's unfortunate because we're trying to live by it. And how can we know it's only the truth that sets us free? And if it's not the truth, we're not getting free. Did you know that the number of salvations and conversions have decreased since all these transliterations of the Bible have come out? It used to be that people would read the Bible and get saved because the Word goes forth to do what it says it does. But they've taken out the blood. They've taken out this. They've taken out that. And the ultimate goal of the devil is to have a Bible that you will all have been trained is the way of salvation, and it will not have anything on how to get saved in it. The devil wants a one-world Bible with no salvation. And he is doing a pretty good job of it. You know, we're all worried about Satan's Bible. Uh-uh. See, that's a deflection. The devil is changing all these translations to getting away from the real Word of God so that there's nothing. And that's why a lot of young people that are coming into churches and reading these transliterations, their lives are not changing, one, because they're not getting the real Word of God, let alone deliverance. It's the truth that makes us free. Doesn't that just make you mad? Another thing for women, number six, and it is just born in us, is a desire and a need to be loved, wanted, and accepted. There's a wonderful book out. It's called Captivating. And she finally just comes out and says, you know what? These are the basic needs of women. And it's not wrong to have them. That need to be cherished. Come here. What was the other one? Just holler it at me. And just to be the center of attention, but not in a demonic way. You know when the little girl comes out and she twirls her dress around, look at me, Daddy, look at me. That is part of what God put in us. I mean, men are looking at women all the time because we're so beautiful to them. Truthfully, we are the most beautiful thing God ever created. You know, we are. I mean, we just are. But if a woman never got that good attention or the right attention from their dad, it just flips over into getting attention any way they can. And us women have done some of the saddest things to try to be loved and get the attention of men. You know, some women have gone into such depravity just seeking to be loved, looking for love in all the wrong places. You're not going to deliver us of that. That is how God made us. Just like there's some things in men that are men. And that's another thing. We don't even know what's masculine and feminine anymore. You know, we got the big unisex. And what the devil is trying to do is make women masculine and men feminine. And there's such a spirit of confusion in the world today that nobody knows what's up. What is masculine? What is feminine? It's kind of like we're all groping around in the dark. But God is moving on the church. I'm going to do a message at the next women's workshop in March on our identity. Did you know that a man will never buy a book on who are you, how to find who you are? Because they know who they are. The world has told them who they are. Women do not know who they are. And then they say at church, know who you are in Christ. Well, I don't even know who I am at home. So it's sad. But you see how the devil's done that to us. So I'm going to do a message, probably more than one, but on identity and what has robbed us of our identity. And then as we get those things out, as we read the Word, God says, I am this. That's my identity. I loose that into me. You know, so I think it's going to be exciting, girls. But And that's why we're so easily manipulated and controlled sometimes, is because in our search to find out who we are, who knows what we get into. Hmm? Just the spirit seven, number seven, of false beliefs and the spirit of error, which has been from time immemorial. I did a really great message on, the title is dull and I'm going to change it, core beliefs. But have all of you seen that baby toy where it's a box and you put the square through the square and the circle through the circle? Well, what the Lord showed me was that once you've developed a belief system, even once you try to put the truth in, it won't go in because the air has already been in there and it blocks the truth from coming in. And you wonder why people can hear the truth and hear the truth and hear the truth. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that. So there's a whole set of deliverance on and ask God. That's, we have to ask God literally to go into your belief system and pull out the wrong beliefs. And because we don't know really what's air, you know, because we've lived in darkness. Did you know that the only reason there's light anywhere is because God said, let there be light? And people are deceived into thinking that we walk in the light because we have light outside, where in actuality, the Bible says the whole world lies in darkness. I mean, if we saw the world through God's eyes, we're sitting in a black room. And the only thing that's light is us. Number eight. Remember how I told you that the devil wants us to be sugar when God says, no, you're supposed to be the salt of the earth? Well, what did I say? Sugar, spice, and everything nice. Be nice. And that's what little girls are made of. Be nice. Your grandmother's coming over. Be nice. Don't tell her she's got that wart on her nose. Be nice. You know? Don't tell the truth. Be nice. Susan Jackson did the most fabulous message, and we'll have it at our bookstore back home, on the spirit of niceness. And that is a counterfeit personality. And then you add politically correct to being nice. You have to be nicely politically correct. And you know what the whole intent of that is? You can't tell anybody the truth. Right? Mm-hmm. You guys will crack up if you ever can. Order the tape on niceness. And it will set you free. Because you know what? Do you know what the counterfeit of niceness is? Well, what it's the counterfeit of, I mean? Kindness. It's the counterfeit kindness. Being kind is not the same as being nice. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. What you guys, what was the title of that book, Kathy? Too Nice for Your Own Good. Write this down. I just want to tell you, this book will help you set free and show you some of the error that we've been raised up in little girls. Too Nice for Your Own Good. If you really want to live in truth, and be kind. God never said, be nice. He said, be kind. Okay, so that's a whole message in itself, and we'll keep going. Number nine, doing not being. We have been trained as women, do, 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 do. Do this, do that, do this, do this, do this. Instead of, did you know that our whole value is, and have you noticed this? Beautiful people do less than what we would, the world terms, ugly people. And I'll tell you where I'm going with this. Because God created women to be so beautiful that by our essence, by just being who we are, was enough. We didn't have to do anything to earn love. We didn't have to do anything to prove we were worth something, that we were worthy to be loved. We had to do absolutely nothing. God said, I created you. It is done. You do not have to work for love. You do not have to earn your salt, they say. Well, you know where the devil's taking that. All we are doing is trying to prove that we're really worthy to be loved. I'm going to do another message at the workshop on that. Unworthy to be loved. That is a wicked, cruel spirit, and it runs us ragged, teams up with false responsibility, and they got a ball game, and we're struck out. And we'll never get to being until we get those deep, deep roots of rejection, self-rejection, sexual rejection. I mean, the mere fact that your parents probably wanted a boy instead of a girl puts you off on the wrong trail right away. Not being wanted and being born puts you off on the wrong trail. Okay? So, cheer up, ladies, and you demons. We're coming. We're going to rip your hide off, devil, because we're sick and tired of what you've done to the women in this world. And God said, it is enough. Enough is enough. And God is coming through. not only in the wisdom of the word, but in power and might that we have not seen. Do not underestimate what the Spirit of God can do in your life. He wants to do it. It is His time to do it because He needs to do it. Okay? So little is much when God is in it. Okay? I just want to encourage you that. Do not always walk by your sight and think, oh, I haven't done much, you know. It's God's Spirit. And who gets all the glory from that? God, right? Number 10, worldly wisdom versus God's wisdom. And there's lots of scriptures on that that talk about the wisdom of the world. It's earthly, sensuous, well, that. Those things work out there. Conditional love, works versus grace, working in love. Number 12, I just hit on it before, unworthiness. And as you step out into that door of opportunity, these demons are very creative. And they will work, and they will work to trip you up in ways you will not see coming, girl. You're going to be scraping your nose off of the cement and wonder, what hit me? It's a good nose job, don't you think? No. I'm just pre-warning you so that you won't be so devastated like I was. Yeah. Or think, what in the world am I doing wrong? You stepped out the door. That's what you did wrong. You went to do what God told you to do. That's what you did wrong in the devil's camp, okay? Yeah. So unworthiness. Another biggie, inherited emotional patterns. We have inherited the emotional patterns of our mothers, basically, from way back. It can be fathers also. But I want you to start coming against, when you can, inherited emotional patterns, and you will be amazed. Your emotions are not your own. You're going to have emotions like your mother, or your grandmother, or your great-grandmother. And sometimes these demons skip generations. You know, you study genetics, and they go, yeah, it skipped a generation. I thought, yeah, they did. You know? Anyway, get back on subject. Number 13, totalitarianism. It is unscriptural. It is an unscriptural authority pattern. I'm the dad, you do what I say and don't question me. That is how Germany got taken over by Hitler. Just do what you're told. I'm telling you, when that spirit came out of me, it was such a cramp in my neck. It makes you stiff-necked, that's good. Stiff-necked and stubborn. You do what you're told, kid, and don't ask me why. And don't challenge my authority either. Go jump off a bridge. Yes, sir. Go kill all the Jews. Yes, sir. Go kill all the gypsies. Yes, sir. It works with mind control and all of those kind of spirits, and it destroys the will, and it destroys the reasoning power that a child has to think, this doesn't make sense. And the devil is training you never to question authority in the right way. It does not mean you go into rebellion and you do all these things. We have the right to question why we're doing something. We have the right to understand why we're doing something. We do not have to do something just because we've been told to do it. That's why they drink pink lemonade and die. They did what they were told and they did not question it. You can question your pastor, you can question your boss, you can question your wife, your husband. There's nobody above question. And you'll be able to do it in the right spirit. Well, really, why? And if they can't give you a reason, I would not do it. And I would say, God, talk to me about this. What's happening here? And then the flip side of that is, God asks you to do something, He will share with you most of the time why. There's very, very few times that God has said, Sharon, you're just going to have to trust me on this one. My ways aren't your ways. But see, right there, He already gave me the understanding. And I did a tape and a message on the spirit of understanding and how that really helps us. Because once you understand something, you can really bear it a lot longer. You can hold up under it. It just takes the tension and the stress. You just understand. You know, the little guy has Tourette's. That's why he swears in church. Okay, I understand. You're so much compassion comes out of that works with the spirit of understanding. And you just cut people slack because we don't know what all is going on in somebody's life. I mean, they can look real pretty. Just like Tessie said, that one side of that sheep looked pretty white. And the other side was nothing but massive, bloody, pussy, purulent wounds. Stinky ones. Abuse spirits, I'm going to talk about these two in the next workshop. They create two things. They create contempt and self-contempt. two huge spirits. That's the whole purpose of abuse, is to make you have contempt toward God, yourself, and everybody else. Contempt. Self-contempt. Contempt. Then that lets in self-hatred, self-destruction, and you're just mad at the world. You're mad at God. And so don't overlook the spirits of contempt. Number 15, fear of suffering. You just really have a fear of suffering, fear of going through hard times. We all do. Nobody likes pain. I mean, God put that into us because, you know, the lepers, they don't feel any pain and their limbs fall off. I mean, God gave us such an example. And, I mean, that's what sin does, too. It's like leprosy. It makes you dead until it's taken your leg off. Then it lets you feel the pain. After you've gotten the divorce, then the devil lets you feel all the pain of what he did to cause it. See, he leaves us holding the bag all the time. Confusion. Spirit of confusion is big, 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 big in the land. We got this California thing. And it goes, I don't know. And they say that's why people wear shoulder pads. I don't know. So then when you bang your head. I mean, this spirit of confusion just makes you, Rami, you don't know. We don't know. And the devil is making sure we don't know. Poor kids that have to believe in evolution. Is that sad? My mother was a monkey. Did you know that every time your brain hears and believes a lie, there is a chemical change in your brain? They have shown that. I love these CAT scans and all the stuff that they've come out with lately, because we are able. There is a whole chemistry to the brain on shame, what shame does to the brain. I mean, God's letting these diagnostic machines be used to show what the demons have done to our physical body. A lot of our bodies have developed in response to demonic emotions, shame, self-hatred, contempt. So I would venture to say, we don't even know what our real bodies look like in heaven. That's kind of nice, you know. Isn't this exciting, what God is bringing out? It just energizes me. The traditions of men and women, and a lot of times, women are our own worst enemies. Who's mutilating the other women in other countries? You know, when they do the sexual mutilations, and I won't get real graphic and detailed in here, who's doing that to these poor little girls? Their own mothers and aunts and grandmothers. Women, we're mutilating each other out of the traditions of men, even when we know how bad it has hurt. How many have died from infections? And God only knows what. I'm not sharing with you because it's too horrible. In the women's movement for votes, some of the biggest opponents to women having the right to vote were other women. And one woman said, well, my life is fine. Well, you know what, girls? How about the women's lives who aren't fine? Do we care about other women whose lives aren't so fine? Are we so selfish and so self-centered that as long as I can live in the lap of luxury, I'm happy? God didn't give us that kind of a heart. That is not the heart of God. Here's another one with women. Because we were created to create stability, a woman does. Men settle down when they marry women, or they're like, I mean, it's just how it was designed. Fear of the unknown. Women aren't generally risk takers. And here God is asking you to do this. To sail out into that ocean and you don't have a clue where you're going, there be dragons out there. So guys, it's going to take a lot of courage and the fear of the unknown. Some of these are natural inborn things, like not risk-taking, that we have to encourage each other to take the risk. And that's why these kind of groups are wonderful. Women getting together and talking about it, just saying, you know, I feel like God is telling me to do this. And you can bump it off other women, and they can say, yeah, you know, go for it. We're behind you. You know, we're there for you. And that's what women haven't had in the past, is their own little cheerleading section. But God's creating it, you know. And probably one of the most disheartening for all of us is going to be our own personal weaknesses. Like my ADD, you know. And everybody has their own. I mean, ADD isn't the only weakness I have. I mean, we all know where we are very human at. And those things rise up. They try to condemn you. They try to shame you. They try to tell you. I mean, a week before I was coming to the workshop, boy, Satan was just laying it on so heavy. I thought, what do I have to tell the women? Look at my life. And the devil will just try to really lay you flat with that.
showing you your own weaknesses. And I had a very wise girlfriend tell me. She said, well then, Sharon, I guess you know it's going to be all him and none of you when you get there. Isn't that nice? So if you don't like the messages, you talk to him because he's the one. It's all of him and none of me. Another biggie that just is a whole topic in itself is the religious spirits. They crucified Christ, and they are still crucifying Christ. Religion. And only deliverance can separate what is religion and what is truth, because we don't know. We just don't know. Another biggie, and especially in our family line, there was jealousy and envy, and the image of jealousy and envy. And the devil has his own jealousy. The devil does not want to give up the territory that he has had in you. The devil is jealous over his own demons too. You know where it says God is jealous over us? Well, the devil is jealous over the demons in us, meaning he does not want them to be replaced with God's spirit. And this can work in many, many, many ways. The spirit, I'm going to have to do a series of messages on this, and there's witchcraft jealousy, the image of jealousy you'll read in the Bible, where people will just come against you and attack you because you're doing what God wants you to do. And they will attack the things most precious in your life and tell you that they're going to take them away, or that you're going to be replaced to the people that you love the most. The devil plays below the belt, girls, and he hits us where it hurts. And I'm going to expand on that later because this is a huge, huge subject. And you realize that all the women out there are not Christians. I mean, it's sad enough when Christian women are full of this stuff. But there's a whole group of people out there that don't give a rip if they take your husband. They don't give a rip if they take what's closest to you. They have no moral boundaries. They don't care. All they know is they want it and you have it. And people can be jealous over you for the things you just can't even imagine. You know, each of us looks at our own life and goes, oh, brother, who would be jealous about that? I mean, we know who we are, right? People can want what other people have for whatever reason they get, you know. This is interesting, too, because the next time, if you're ever tempted to jealousy, this is something really neat. It's like God will withhold no good thing from us. And, if it's the best thing for me, God will give it to me. But the critical part is that God will withhold no good thing from us. So let's say you're a single woman, you know, and you probably look at Monty and I and go, oh, I'd like a marriage like that. Well, some days you can have it. And I'm telling you, we're both not the angels that we look like, you know, here. No, we have gone around the mountain. And you know what? That's good, because it shows we're healthy, normal people. People that don't fight have problems. And that's a whole other message. But what's the fear? A lot of fear goes with jealousy. What's the fear? Fear of not having it? Ask God to start asking, ask the why questions. Why, God, do I feel this way? What am I afraid of? And then just keep, when he gives you an answer, go why? Why? Turn into the why child. I think the reason that God gives me so much stuff is I'm going, why? 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 But, and he tells us. Okay, so ask why. Why, Lord, do I, you know, why am I so mad that she got a bigger house? I mean, who wants a big house anyway? You just got to clean it. But some things are very subtle. Some things are ancestral. Some things are inherited emotional patterns from our parents or somebody who went through the Great Depression and didn't have two nickels to rub together. And you wonder why you just never feel like you can have enough money. So, isn't that, that's what's great about deliverance. It digs out all those places that, and reveals those things that are hidden that we can't dream of. Couldn't think of. There's a certain type of witchcraft that comes against women, and it paralyzes the men. We had a man early in our marriage that thought I should be his wife. And his witchcraft spell, and he had a huge Jezebel spirit, and he was a man. So I'm just saying, that spirit rocks and rolls in both sexes, girls. And Mitzi did a fabulous job on that, too. And you know, really, Jezebel is a counterfeit god. And Jezebel, the woman and the baby, it's really all in all pagan religions. Every religion but Christianity is pagan.
including the Catholics, the Mormons. Everybody is a pagan by true definition if they're not a born-again Christian. And we were all pagans at one time, so like we said, we all lived in that world. That's why we get deliverance from all these gods and things like that. But this spirit of witchcraft just would come over Monty's head, and it's like he was in. He saw nothing, he heard nothing, he knew nothing. Well, that spirit just worked on me to practically destroy me. Made me look like the one that was going crazy and insane. Well, what's wrong with her? These things are evil. They hate women. They want to debase you. They want to humiliate you. They want to make you look like lowlife. And finally, one day, the Lord just, I think out of mercy and grace, broke that spirit. And then it's like Monty could finally see, because this man would astral project into the bedroom. And yet it's, and Monty is no wimp spiritually, you know that. So I'm showing you the power of this spirit. And it comes over a lot of men, and they're just, turns them into mush and goes to work on the women, making you look crazy and insane, and it's all your problem. Because you're the one in motion, talking, screaming, hollering, and they're just quiet and calm. Yeah, because they're clamped down. Otherwise, men are supposed to fight for us. They are to fight and protect and defend. That's what God put in their hearts to do. And they want to. Let's see. You know that God is no respecter of persons, right? What he's done for one, he'll do for you. Guess what, girls? You might have to live the list, too. No. just, God is so for us. I mean, I was so tickled when Junie did The Bride. And I think the Lord, like 3-4 years ago, really started drawing me into that intimate relationship with him. And then all the spirits that come up, I mean, it's amazing to resist that. But there is no greater place. And it's line upon line that you'll draw close to God. It's precept by precept. That is his way, just like he delivers us line upon line. Why does he do that? The same reason why when we farm, we only do a section here, we plant in it, because if we delivered the whole land, the weeds would grow right back up, and probably bigger and badder than before. So God says, all right, let's do this little strip. We dig out, we root up, then we're going to plant tomatoes. That does good. Then God says, okay, let's go to the next little section, because he wants us to hold and grow and get stronger. I just hope that this has encouraged you, brought you hope, and I just loose the angels now to go and strengthen and minister and to keep strengthening the godly soul ties that have been created between us. And I just praise God for his love toward us women and how he's pouring out on us to be what he's created us to be. Now Patty can come up. I'm done. I will when Patty comes up here. I got a full rank, because just quit fighting it, will ya? That excavator, that's good. Yeah, I'm going to give you a Tonka truck for Christmas, the one that's got the little scoop on it.
I tell you what.
Come here.
The Lord answered, I have to tell you something. I'm going to start crying again. But when you prayed and the cloud of witnesses, and I tell you something broke in me. And it's just wonderful because, you know, there are so many that have gone before us. You came up under. And, you know, there's just, she's right. The fruit of her calling is what's going on here today.
Amen.
And it just broke me. I haven't broken like that in this whole camp meeting, but I just sat back there and wept and wept and wept because it was so God. Jesus. You know, there was people that Irma was very unique. You never met her, I don't think.
I know, I'm so glad. She was very unique.
You either loved her or you hated her. And she spoke the truth. She spoke the truth. You might not like what she said, but she spoke the truth. And she had the goods to get you free. Because she didn't speak the truth just to tear you down. She spoke the truth so that you can be set free.
Amen.
And you know, that's all I want to say.
I just thank you for the prayer that you prayed.
Well, the reason you're here.
Oh. Yeah, just unwrap it yourself, huh?
The girls and I, we got you something.
You can read the card.
Thank
later.
You. But this is all the rage in California, guys.
And
girls, sorry. Identity crisis.
Yeah. I couldn't even open it up again. So bad.
You know, I want to say something else.
Kevin and I lived in California for a few years, and these folks have something very special. You do not find this kind of a place that serves the Lord and has the ministry that they have in California. Trust me, there's a spirit out there, a free spirit that's not the free spirit that mm-hmm. God has.
Yeah.
And a place like this, if you're ever near it and you're looking for something, I know by the Spirit that this is a very unique place in the western part of this, really.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Oh!
Something like this, only with hers,
uh-huh.
It had an opening, and it stretched way out, and you can actually put it on if you wanted to, but it would come, and it would
really?
It would coil up like this, and she had it on her, and Crystal and I thought it was so pretty, and this is just beautiful.
Thank you.
This is my scarf of many colors.
I know. That's exactly what Monty goes. He says, well, it's like the coat of many colors. And I said, yeah.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And here's the bag and the card. And then,
I love you. I love you. I didn't ever know you before, but I feel like I've known you forever.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Isn't that something with God's people?
Yeah.
Just, that is amazing. All right, here we go. Father, we thank you for this workshop. Now, we're just Lucy Angel, and we thank you, God, and bless the man for cooking, Father. That is so wonderful, man cooking, and caring for us, and doing the tapes, and all that they've done, and just Glenn for being Glenn, and sticking by the stuff. So, Father, thank you for the food. Good food, let's eat. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.